Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verses 47 through 49, these words I speak to you. Come on, read them with me. These words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundation words, words to build a life on. Say that again. Words to build a life on. If you work the words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. When the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. Say that again. Nothing could shake it. It was built. One more time. Nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. When the swollen river came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss. This month at Nairobi Lighthouse Church, we are talking about being built to last. We are ministering to you on being built to last. We're having such an amazing time together, aren't we? Just loving this opportunity to just pour out to you in this way, built to last. I've been sharing this month from my own life. After 60 years of being saved, 49 years of being married to the same lady, 45 years of being a parent, and 50 plus years of ministry, I've learned a few things along the way that have helped me to last. You know, I stand before you today, I just feel so young. I literally feel like I could preach for two strong hours. Today I want to share with you another thing, another material, another building material that has been so important for all that I have spent my life in building to last. I want to give you another material that I've utilized in my life in seeking to build to last. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Are you tired? Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You know, many Christians go through life tired. Tired. And many, sad to say, are on the edge of burnout, if not already burnout. They're on the edge. Jesus says there is a way to live freely. There's a way to live lightly. Doesn't that sound good, church? Come on. Doesn't that sound good, freely and lightly? Does free and light describe your home life? Does free and light describe your marriage? Not being free to find somebody else. I'm talking about free and light in your marriage. Does free and light describe your work life? It can. More than that, it should. Jesus said, come away with me. I'll show you how to do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. It may seem unrealistic or idealistic, but Jesus says we can learn this way of living. How? How can we learn this way of living freely and lightly? Well, the answer is what I want to share with you today. This building material that I want to give to you today. And it's contained in this word. One word in this passage of Scripture. It's the word rhythms. Rhythms. There is a rhythm of grace. Christ says as we walk with Him and as we work with Him, as we watch how He does it, we can learn the unforced rhythms of grace. It must be difficult. It must be challenging to live in a forced marriage. It must be a challenge to live in a life where you feel forced. Jesus said there's unforced rhythms of grace that we, His people, as we follow His example, the head of the church, that we can live freely and lightly. I want to define the word rhythm. The word rhythm means a strong, regular, repeated pattern of movement or sound. A rhythm. A strong, regular, repeated pattern of movement or sound. Say that with me. A strong, regular, repeated pattern of movement or sound. What are the rhythms of your life? What patterns of your life are strong, regular, and repeated? Come on, in your daily living, what patterns are strong, regular, and repeated? You know, life has a way of getting chaotic and cluttered. So cluttered. Do you have that drawer at home it's the drawer. It's like all the other drawers are fine, but that one, when you come to it, you open it, things fly out or maybe crawl out. Or maybe you have a cupboard. It may have increased from drawer size to cupboard size. Or it may have increased to you even have a room in your house, a room. If I came over to visit and have chai with you with chapatis, you wouldn't take me into that room, right? It's cluttered. Some of us need to declutter our lives. We have certain areas off limits. We are cluttered in that we need to declutter. Anyway, that's for another day because I feel many of you disconnecting with me right now. Many times we can think we'll get something accomplished. When life settles down a little bit, I'll get it accomplished. When things calm down, life is so chaotic, it's so cluttered, I'm going to get some things accomplished when life calms down a little bit. But the truth is, the older we get, and I'm qualified to talk about this, the truth is, the older we get, the more responsibility we will have and the busier we will be. Now, when we're young, we don't think about that. You know, when we're young, we think, man, when I reach my father's age or my mom's age, when I get there, it's going to be totally different. I am going to sleep every day till 1 o'clock. No more responsibility. I can be out away from them. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. I can eat anything I want to eat. I can go to the fridge anytime I want to go to the fridge. I will not be told no. Woohoo! We've all thought that. We think our parents are so old, out of Noah's Ark. And when we reached there, I can remember when my father turned 40. 40, Erobaini. When my father turned 40 years of age, I thought, we're going to have to put him in the grave. It won't be long, man. 40. God, my dad is so old. Until I reached 40. It's nothing. It's nothing. The truth is, the older we get, the more responsibility we will have and the busier we will be. It gets heavier as we get older, and it gets more demanding as time goes on, not less. So we need to learn some lessons now. We need to understand about rhythms now. We need to really connect with Christ now and let him teach us. Let's learn some things now so life can be free and light. Not weighed down to where we can barely move. And we're so much in debt and we're so much weight is on us and so much pressure is on us. And life has no order. Life is chaotic. Life is we're just taking it as it comes, and we're trying to juggle and deal with all of this at one go, and we're tired. So many people live tired. About the time they get over one situation, another one hits them. And because they have not established rhythms in their life, it's like, this is hard. This is rough. Some things must be non-negotiable for us, no matter the season that we're in. They're non-negotiable. And that's because everything is crying out for our time and priority in whatever season you're in. Everything is crying out for your time. Everything is crying out for your priorities. You're putting out so many fires, and you're here, there, everywhere. And everything's demanding and calling you, and you just need Jesus. When we planted and spent years building Nairobi Lighthouse Church, I had to juggle so much. I had to juggle a new ministry that needed every aspect of me. I had to juggle a new ministry that needed every aspect of me, and by far my greatest blessing, being an amazing wife alongside me, helping keep me in focus. Yet coming to the realization and coming to the understanding that the quality of our life together in this, starting this new work and starting this and all the demands, I realized that the quality of our life together, it demanded time. It demanded attention for our marriage and for our friendship to stay strong. Children that needed a present and a loving dad. My own personal health to keep in good shape. Finances that need balancing, needed strategizing and balancing. A house where things needed fixing and repairing and maintaining. Extended family that depended upon me, friendships to invest in, a cell group to follow up, reports to my overseers that came due, meetings that had to happen, and somewhere in there, I also wanted to watch Man U take down Arsenal. Somewhere in all of this responsibility, as you get older, I just wanted to see Man U take down Chelsea, the boys in blue. And deal with Liverpool. Sort them. And lo and behold, after all of this, my son-in-laws are Arsenal fans. I guess it was just a tired season in my life. It's like, how did you guys get into this family? I tried to persuade them before they signed up. One of the requirements, you got to support Man U. No, I'm just kidding. As well as every now and again, I wanted to nap. Here are three rhythms, three strong, regular, and repeated patterns that have helped me keep it free and light all these years. You ready? And I want to just talk to you like a dad for a few moments. Can I do that? These three rhythms have helped Miss Amy and I keep it free and keep it light. Number one, the rhythm of devotion. The rhythm of devotion. Now remember, a rhythm is a strong, regular, repeated pattern of movement or sound. Jesus says, come away with me. Let me teach you the unforced rhythms of grace. Watch me as I do it. And this is so powerful. The disciples watched him when he went to pray all night. The disciples were with him. They saw his devotional life. Now, while I can't claim that kind of perfection, I cannot claim perfection here. But I have down through the years sought to zealously guard my time of devotion, to read the word every day, to spend time in prayer every day. My wife and I have both kept journals for many, many years. We both rising early in the morning to read the word and write down what we have received that day and how we have prayed about it. How important is this pattern to me? This pattern, this rhythm, to me is as important as eating every day. And for those of you who know me well, you know that I highly value eating. I value that. I think ahead. I plan ahead for meals. Yesterday, I made my wife ribeye steaks on the grill. I marinated them for 36 hours. I baked her some potatoes. I'm starting to feel something up here. Listen, that's how important this has been to me. This pattern of devotion, this rhythm of devotion has kept me strong, it's kept me fed, it's kept me energized, it's kept me helped and grounded, it's kept me anchored. Learning and growing, getting my roots down deeper. One of the lessons I learned was, quite often I would find myself in my own private time of devotion, not listening or reading for myself, but listening for you and reading for you. I would find myself in my own private devotions preparing the next Sunday's message. And I had to stop. God had to deal with me and say, no, don't use your time that I want intimacy with you. I want to mold you. I want to work on you and stop thinking about, for this season, this moment, about your vocation or your calling, rather, about what you are doing. Here's a lesson to learn. Prayer does not waste your time. It saves your time. Prayer does not waste your time, it saves your time. It has been said that with prayer, you can make 8 good decisions in an hour rather than taking 8 hours to make 1 good decision. With prayer, you can make 8 good decisions in an hour rather than taking 8 hours to make 1 good decision. One of Miss Amy's greatest strengths that I have always admired, I admire so much in her, but one of her great strengths that I've always admired is that she discovered the power of praying all throughout the day. She helped me to see that when you live with someone, you don't schedule a time to talk with them. Now, you may have to if life is crazy. You may have to say, okay, can we just tomorrow at 3 o'clock take an hour together or whatever? But that's not normal. When you live with somebody, you are always talking to them, always. You can be on the other side. Miss Amy helped me to see this. You can be on the other side of the house and have a conversation going, not even seeing each other. And she said, this is what I've learned. I just talk to God. He lives with me. I live with him. He's ever present. And I just talk to him throughout the day. I just open my heart to him throughout the day. When a burden for one of my children just enters or re-enters my heart, I just talk to him throughout the day. I commune with him. This has been her practice for years. Myself, I whisper prayers before meetings that I have. I ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. I ask the Holy Spirit for the right response during conversations that I'm having. I realized long ago, the words that I share because of the place that I hold in people's lives can have an impact upon them. It may have an impact upon them for weeks or months. Perhaps even years. And I just have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. Don't let me just say the first thing that pops into my head. God, we're dealing with lives here of people we love and cherish, and we want to see them excel and go beyond us. So I pray. The key for me hasn't been to only give God some exclusive minutes of my day for devotions, but seeking to live out my whole day devoted. Not to just give a few minutes of devotional time, but live my whole day devoted, a lifestyle, a devoted lifestyle. Pastor Jim Clark helped me to understand this, a devoted lifestyle. Secondly, the rhythm of relationships. Come on, this is incredible building material. With all the things demanding my time and attention, over these long years, I have tried to be careful in guarding the strong, regular, repeated pattern of relationships in my life, starting with my marriage. The most important relationship of my life, besides God, is my relationship with Miss Amy. Then my children, seeking to guard and care for. Then my ministry and my work relationships and friendships. Listen, church, the key to any relationship is time. Time. Craig Rochelle said the only way intimacy is built is with time. It takes time. Intentionally make time for important relationships in your life. Guard your yeses. And your no's. Anything you say yes to is saying no to something else. So guard your yeses and guard the no's that you say, because saying yes to anything is saying no to something else. Don't give up the most important things for the many things. Don't give up the most important things for the many things. We make the mistake of taking the urgent things in life over the important things. Some People live from urgency to urgency. This urgent matter, that urgent matter, and the important things such as that devoted lifestyle, it just takes a back seat because we're here, we're there, we're everywhere, putting out the fires, handling this crisis, handling that deal. And we find ourselves 3 days in the week, 4 days down in the week, we haven't had any devotion. We haven't had any intimacy with Jesus, the head of the church. We're dealing with urgent matters. And I understand there are seasons where everything seems to fall apart and everything becomes urgent, but you cannot negate or neglect the important, the many things that require you to be able to, or position you rather, to handle the urgent when it comes. When my children were younger, through their teen years, Miss Amy and I made the decision. I'm talking about the important, the many important things. Miss Amy and I, we made the decision that we would eat dinner together as a family every evening. We're building this work. We're busy. We've got so much going on. But we made the decision that we would eat dinner together as a family every evening. And of course, there were the odd days that we'd need to be at a meeting, but this was not the common pattern. When we would eat dinner, we would all sit around a table and we would take our phone off the hook. You remember those phones that I talked about before? The old landline? We would take it off the hook so that we would not be disturbed. No one could call us during our meal together. We put the focus on this time. It was like devoted to us. No one, none of our children, nor myself or Miss Amy, could bring work to the table or homework to the table. No one could bring a book. No one could bring a toy. We would all sit down and we would talk to each other. And we would catch up on how school was going or what was happening in each other's worlds. It was a regular, repeated pattern that we established in our house. Now, God has blessed Miss Amy and I with 5 beautiful daughters. Knockouts, every one of them. And a fantastic, awesome son. When we would often, as their dad, many times at the table, I would look at my daughters, look them in the eyes, and say, who are these boys that keep coming around here? I want to know who these boys are that's coming around here. It's like these boys have come from out of nowhere and they're showing up. I've got daughters that I want to find out what's going on in your world. Yeah, mini cows, baby. You hear what I'm saying? It's my place as the father to find out what's going on. And just open their heart. Oh, daddy, he's so cute. Who's cute? These guys aren't coming around to be with me. They're not wanting to hang out with me. They say hi and I don't see him anymore. Daddy, he loves Jesus. Hello? And we talk about it. And we deal with it. And I want to guide. Pastor John knows what I'm talking about very, very well. I want to guide these beautiful, beautiful young ladies. Help them to reach their destiny. Church, can I just encourage you as a father would encourage you? take the phone off the hook. Just take the phone off the hook. By that, I mean put your phone down. We don't have hooks anymore. Don't let life pass you by as you look at a screen. And here are all your beautiful family with amazing destinies sitting around your table like olive plants. And here you are with a screen. Put your phone down. Look at your family. Look at your friends. Look at what really matters. Your children will mimic what you do. Your rhythms will affect your children's rhythms. You ever seen a little boy trying to walk in the footsteps of his dad? His dad's just walking normal, but here's the little guy, and he's trying his best to match his dad's footsteps or the little girl, her mom's footsteps. Your children will mimic you. Listen, everyone's rhythm or rhythms of relationship will look differently. A single mom, a young student, a single person. It might not look like dinner around the table every night, but the point is, be intentional and consistent about whatever rhythms of relationships you are building. Start somewhere attainable. For example, maybe one meal a week as a family. Start there. Nothing interrupts this. One meal a week as a family. Sadly, with the demands of life, home tends to come last these days. But let it not be so for you. And finally, I finish, a rhythm of rest. A rhythm of rest. Look at me, Jesus said. Come away with me. Follow my example. I will teach you. I will show you how to move in the unforced rhythms of grace so that your life can be free and light. A rhythm of rest. Isn't that awesome? First, a rhythm of devotion, a rhythm of relationships, and then a rhythm of rest. We live in such a fast-paced world. Set your pace. Again, Craig Groeschel said, busy doesn't change the world. Focus does. Focus does. We all want to do things well, but no matter what you are doing, are you burning yourself out? We might have intense seasons, and that's fine, but intensity cannot be sustained for very long. I've learned this lesson. This was not an easy lesson for me because I'm a driven person, and I'm quite intense. And I've learned that intensity cannot be sustained for very long. Would I want to do a lot for a little or do a little for a lot of time? Which of these will ultimately yield more? Doing a lot for a little time or doing a little for a lot of time? So how can I develop this rhythm of rest? Well, I'm glad you've asked. Very practically, get some sleep. Get some sleep. How can I develop a rhythm of rest? A regular pattern, strong. Get some sleep. Church, this might seem so basic that it's silly, but if you want to last and not just barely survive, then you need to learn to sleep. Sleep is an investment in whatever you are building. You had no idea you were coming to church today to hear about sleep. It takes as much discipline to retire in the evening at a good time as it does to wake up early. If you're a driven person and you got a lot of responsibility, which most of us do, sleep. To discipline yourself to go to bed at a good time, it requires as much discipline to do that as it does to wake up early. I'm a wake up early guy. Ever since our kids were babies, it's the only time in our house when it's really quiet, like 3:30 in the morning. And so I would just wake up, and I've just continued that all of my life. I love to awake at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and just be in the presence of God, just be quiet. It's so amazing. But here you are, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, your kids are crawling all over you. You're like, the kids are wanting to be with you, and it's so hard because you've been gone all day, but you're so exhausted at the same time. And it's like, put those kids to bed. 11 o'clock at night. Mommy, mommy, sausage. Sausage, mommy. What? Sausage. Mommy, mommy, chai, chai. Come out in Jesus' name. Deliver that child and put her to bed. Come on. I'm not talking about slothfulness or laziness. I'm talking about getting good sleep at night. You know, Psalm 127, verse 2 says at the latter part, he gives his beloved sleep. Come on, he gives his beloved sleep. How can I develop this rhythm of rest? And I'm taking a little time because this subject is so vital right now. Identify rest providers. First, get some good sleep, and then identify rest providers. What gives you rest? What is it that gives you rest? Identify those things. I believe rest providers are of greater importance than internet service providers. In fact, I know they are. Rest providers are of greater importance than internet service providers. I want to give you the definition that Miss McKenna gave to her facilitators in the year 2016. She was ministering, she and Miss Catherine, they were ministering to our kids house team. And on 30th of July, I was reviewing some notes that she shared at that meeting. Miss Amy and I were there, and it was all on the subject of rest. So powerful. And here's Miss McKenna's definition of rest: to be quiet on the inside. Rest, to be quiet on the inside. You must come to awareness of what feeds and refreshes you and causes quietness on the inside. Now, again, let me talk to you as a dad. Many people, especially the younger generation, have a regular, repeated pattern of picking up their phone when they rest. Listen to me, but is what you're scrolling through as you're resting, is it giving you rest in your spirit, in your soul? Are you leaving Twitter X feeling refreshed and rejuvenated? Are you shutting down TikTok or Snapchat feeling free and light? When you get off your phone, is it quiet within you? How many of our next generation go to rest and they wake up the next morning and their phone's right there? Rest isn't just about your body. It's about your mind. It's about your soul. It's about your emotions. You cannot get on Twitter X and not encounter some emotion. You cannot get on TikTok or Snapchat and not encounter some emotion. And here, right before you go to sleep, the last thing you're putting in your mind, your emotions are like, oh. You may be angry, or you may be lustful, or you may be, you're whatever it is, you're just falling asleep with that emotion. Put the phone down. Real rest isn't just about, it's about your mind, your soul, your emotion. Don't think you're resting just because you've made your body still. Still your mind as well. Identifying these is what has kept us free and light all through these years. Miss Amy and I had a a set bedtime for our kids every evening. It was the law of the Medes and Persians. It could not be changed. Every evening. And it was so they would rest. At least that's what we wanted it to be. But if we really be honest, we set a bedtime for our kids every evening so we could rest. So that Miss Amy and I could have time together in the evenings to just look at each other. So that Miss Amy and I could just be refreshed and just catch up on our day. Find out about how you doing, babe. You okay? What did you encounter today? Hey, babe, talk to me. And those little kids are all asleep and it's just me and mama. So important. Just time together in the evenings to rest and be refreshed. Learn to give yourself breaks during the day. Go out and get some sunshine for a few minutes. Come on, leave your desk where you are. Just go and get some sunshine. Get some fresh air. Make yourself a fresh cup of tea, of chai. What do you need to shed off so you can rest? What do you need to get rid of so you can rest? What do you need to turn off so you can rest? Someone said, he who cannot rest cannot work. He who cannot let go cannot hold on. He who cannot find footing cannot go forward. The rhythm of rest. And not only do we identify rest providers, what provides us with rest, we need to identify rest prowlers. Prowlers. What is it that's prowling around in your mind? What is it that's prowling around in your mind that's stealing your rest? A prowler is another word for thief. Someone who prowls, who cases the joint. Someone who prowls around and looks around for the opportunity to steal something. What prowler is moving about that seeks to take your eyes off of God? Corrie ten Boom said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at God, you'll be at rest. Oh, come on, somebody. Identify those prowlers that are trying to get your eyes off God and get your mind off your destiny and the things that God has for you. These three rhythms have been key for Miss Amy and I in building to last. And we've sought with all of our heart, with all of our heart, through every season of our life, we have sought to live these things. And this is why we can share them with you and open our hearts to you at whatever place you are in life, at whatever season that you're in. The rhythm of devotion, the rhythm of rest. These rhythms are so powerful. These rhythms of relationships, so incredibly powerful. And God will give you the grace. God will give you the strength, this unforced rhythms of grace. Maybe you're here and you're wondering how to even begin with some of this. It might not happen naturally, and it's okay if it's not natural to you. May I encourage you to take counsel. Take counsel with your spouse if you're married. Come on, how can I develop these rhythms of grace? Take counsel with your spouse. I assure you, she will tell you. He will tell you. She will open her heart to you. He will open his heart to you. If you're truly sincere, I want to develop healthy rhythms in our lives. How many times Miss Amy has set me down, talked with me, opened her heart with me, spoken into my life, where I need to grow, where I need to develop, and vice versa. And it only strengthens that bond if the heart is sincere. If you're unmarried, or even if you're married and you need some help, talk to your pastor. Or talk to a trusted leader in the house. Have a conversation about the areas of life that you want to see some healthy rhythms. As we finish today, have you been helped? Come on, have you received this today? Come on, do you really receive it? Don't be condemned today. All of us are in a process. All of us are in a journey. Don't be intimidated today. The Spirit of God is here to walk with us every moment. And all I can say is thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us. Let's read this together. Come on, read it with me. The rhythms are not to keep what you're building going. They are to keep you going so that you can keep building. Come on, read it again with me. The rhythms are not to keep what you're building going. They are to keep you going so you can keep building. How many of you say, I'm going to keep building, Pastor? I'm going to keep building. I'm going to continue to move forward. I'm going to continue to use good materials, good building materials. Now, if you do get out of rhythm, it's okay. It's okay. Pick it up quickly. Don't let the bad rhythms last long. Come on, make that adjustment. You say, Pastor, pray with me right now. There are areas in my life I know I need to develop some rhythms, some patterns. I know there's some things I need to shed to get rid of. Pastor, in these various areas, hands up. I want to pray with you right now. Pastor, the Holy Spirit is ready, and I want to yield right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every individual here, every man, every woman, under the sound of my voice, who have listened so attentively today. Holy Spirit, I thank you for taking these words and just implanting them and imparting them into our spirit. And Father, we pray, I pray in Jesus' name for every individual, my God, who's searching, every individual who's desiring, my Father, to set things aside, Lord. Set these things aside that are keeping them from these rhythms of grace, from this life of devotion, from this pursuit of strong relationships, Father, and building, using amazing building material for in their relationships. This area of rest, oh God, in Jesus' name, help us to develop the rhythm of rest, my Father, that we can stand before you as your people, and those around about us can understand there remains a rest for the people of God. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for that grace today. We thank you for that strength today, that we are building to last. And that, Lord, when Christ returns, if we're still alive, we will see him face to face. We will be strong right to the end. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Say yes. Come on, shout yes.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.